The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm Sammy Jacobs. TJ Inman will be along with us shortly. Today we are breaking down Indiana's 35-21 loss to Michigan State and previewing Indiana's next game against Rutgers on Saturday at noon in Piscataway. Indiana is 3-1 heading into the Rutgers game after the loss on Saturday. That was certainly disappointing. We'll take a look at why that loss is so disappointing, why that loss really, in the grand scheme of things, is not that big of a deal, and what we have to look forward to as Indiana travels to Rutgers. And now we welcome in TJ Inman. TJ, how are you on this drizzly, rainy evening in Indianapolis?
Yeah, doing all right. Obviously, looking forward to turning the page to another week. I know it was just a very frustrating game, but overall you just left feeling a bit empty. It was a really good opportunity, and I know we're going to have some talking points surrounding that. And I want to point out that, it's okay to feel disappointed about Saturday night and be frustrated about the loss to Michigan State and about some of the things that transpired. I know I definitely am both of those things. It's okay to feel those things and also point out the larger narrative, as you mentioned, the larger narrative of the season and the opportunities Indiana still has laying in front of it. The loss to Michigan State, while it was an opportunity missed, I will continue to believe that IU, by and large, was equal to Michigan State, with the exception of a couple of things. So it was a missed opportunity. It's very true. That being said, losing that game does not take any of the goals off the table for the Hoosiers. So it's okay to be frustrated and disappointed, and have some definite negatives to take from that game, and still also recognize the overall positive four-game start the Hoosiers have had.
Yeah, and, I thought Indiana was going into that game playing with house money a little bit. They weren't blown off the field by Michigan State. Now, you could definitely tell the difference in quarterback play and other positions, but – when the defense is playing, 9 yards off the ball all night, it's very hard to run or get anything going. And I think you'll see, hopefully they open up the offense. I think it's more of a limitations of who you have back there throwing the ball. That's the disappointing part, that Indiana's receivers aren't as good as Michigan State's, or their defensive back shutting them down all night. It was more of Indiana looked kind of scared to throw the ball downfield after that throw to Reese Taylor that they missed, and Michigan State did not respect that the threat of the deep ball at all night, which made it impossible to get any semblance of a run game going. And I was personally shocked that we did not see Michael Penix play that game. The comments by Tom Allen today at his press conference lead me to believe that they're going to try and redshirt him. And if he does not play this week at Rutgers, that's 100% the plan. And I think that's 100% the wrong plan to do, is to get to try. You're worrying about 2021 when Tom Allen and staff need to worry about 2018 and getting six wins. Now, they can get six wins with Peyton Ramsey. If they go into Rutgers this weekend and win, then you're heading to Ohio State 4-1 and probably heading, most likely heading into homecoming at 4-2, which against Iowa, you're sitting pretty. And some other teams in the Big Ten are dealing with some injury issues later in the season that could creep up and hurt them and give IU a better chance at winning those games. But to me, this game, going 4-0, was just going to be an added bonus. It's kind of a lazy take to say it's the same old Hoosiers and they blew an opportunity and all that stuff. While it was a missed opportunity, people are missing the forest for the trees to just go after that old lazy narrative. Again, it was a missed opportunity, but you know, you go into the season thinking maybe you could win one of the four of those big four and go from there. So Indiana still has all their goals to play for ahead of them. And going into Rutgers this week, I believe it's a 17-point favorite on the road, which is a historic point spread for the Hoosiers in conference play going on the road. So we'll see how they bounce back. But, you know, I thought the defense against Michigan State was good enough outside of that, you know, the one bust, which when you're playing with a third string Husky, it's going to be bound to happen. And we'll see where they go from there. You can't throw pick sixes against teams like that. You can't allow fake field goals that go for touchdowns and things like that. That's 14 points right there. A 3rd and 17, which they got 16 yards on, convert the 4th and 1. That's another 7 points. So it's not, IU's not that far off. They weren't physically blown off the field where you go, well, they're just, you know, they don't belong on the same field at Michigan State. That's just simply not true. And we'll see where we go from there at Rutgers. So previewing this week, TJ, unless you have any more gripe. Oh, one more gripe. Big Ten officials are absolutely laughably awful. They are so bad. And it's not only IU, it's all the perceived underdog teams in the conference get consistently bad calls, go against them when they're playing these ranked teams. And I sat in the stands for a little bit of the Michigan State game with some friends of mine when the camera broke. But, you know, when bringing up corruption and money calls and all that stuff, when it seems like that is a realistic possibility and not just a joke, that says it all that needs to be said about Big Ten officiating. I thought that the targeting on Marcelino Ball, if that wasn't targeting against Peyton Ramsey earlier in the game, then you can't call that. I get the rule. I don't mind the rule. It's the enforcement of the rule that it's so inconsistent, and the fact that it went against IU is just seems like, you know, God forbid Michigan State loses two games in a row and they don't get, you know, a high rating when they play Michigan or Ohio State. That's what it seems like. There's also the pass interference call, a missed offensive pass interference call that led to another touchdown. Yep. It's, you know, the list goes on, and we could do a whole series of podcasts on calls like against some of these lower tier teams in the Big Ten. And it's not just Indiana. It's not us being bitter. They have to be better. It's a billion-dollar industry. I get that they're trying hard and things like that, but, you know, pay these guys a livable wage so they don't have to work four jobs. They're not overtired. They know the rules. They can enforce the rules. They don't have to work high school games and, you know, four games a week and things like that. Pay them a livable wage. Pay them full-time salaries. Get them the training that they need to get the goddamn calls right on the field, because it's getting annoying and it's getting embarrassing for the Big Ten. Yep. So that's my spiel on the officials. Let's move over to Rutgers. Yep.
Yeah, I do have a couple of things to say about, I mean, I concur and echo your thoughts on the officials. And what's incredibly sad, is that it's 100% it is not a surprise when those things happen. It's not like I can't believe it. No, we can 100% believe it. We are expecting it to happen. And it has to be so incredibly frustrating for the coaches, whose livelihoods depend on the outcomes of these games, that what can they do? You know, if they go publicly criticize the officials in any way, shape, or form in a press conference, they're paying with their pocketbooks. And it's just it's a shame that Michigan State deserved to win that game. They made a couple of big plays that Indiana did not. I'm not blaming the officiating for the outcome of that game.
No, absolutely not. It's just annoying to watch
the
calls, low calls over and over and over again.
How many pick plays get called on a weekly basis? And Indiana has an offensive touchdown taken back again the second time this year due to an offensive pass interference on a pick play. Clearly that's something Indiana, they can't run that play again. They just can't, because it's pretty clear that, look, was it offensive pass interference? I don't know. I mean, that play gets run by every team in the country, and I just refuse to believe that Indiana is that much worse at running it than anyone else, or that Donovan Hale is that much, is egregious in his pick, if you will. I refuse to believe that. The pass interference on Raheem Lane was awful, completely terrible. Now, Indiana got the ball shortly after that, maybe even the next play, and called that karmic justice if you want to. Call it karmic justice if you want to, but that was a terrible call. And the officials don't know that IU's going to end up with the ball anyway. They don't know that. It was fortunate that it worked out that way. But we'll move on from that. Like you said, there's no reason to get on here and, I have plenty of bitterness towards the officials to go around, but we'll move on. I saw a couple of different places that said, thank goodness L.J. Scott didn't play. Well, no, that's not true. L.J. Scott's unavailability had absolutely nothing to do with that game. He wouldn't have helped their running game. He's played in their two games previously. He's played for three seasons previously. L.J. Scott is just not that good. Hayward, I think, is, at the very worst, equal as a player to L.J. Scott. I don't think it had any impact on the game. So I don't think him playing would have made a difference one way or the other. And then the final point I'd like to make, credit to Michigan State's defensive front, because they really controlled that game. I thought IU's defensive front had a nice game as well. And I thought the Hoosiers did a good job of generating pressure on Wilwerke, and also, blowing up the running game for Michigan State for the most part. But Michigan State's defensive line and their linebackers were really the standouts of that contest. Kudos to them. They dominated IU's offensive line, and it really showed why they are one of the better defenses in the country. And then also a credit and a shout-out to Wop Fillier, who, despite not being 100% for the second half of that contest, Wop Fillier had a really nice game, and it was good to see him get that involved. Now, Indiana's got to find a way to get their bigger receivers, Nick Westbrook and Donovan Hale, and then Luke Timian, who didn't play, plus the tight ends. IU's got some really big targets that just are not being utilized, and I think part of that is Peyton Ramsey's limitation to get the ball down the field. And part of it was that the Hoosiers' game plan was to get the ball to Wop, and then to Jayshon Harris as well, some on the outside for quick hitters, which helps your offensive line some for sure by getting the ball out quickly. And you saw Wop Fillier being very successful, so it made sense to keep feeding him. But, just a really good night for him, and it's good to see him continuing to progress as a star in the making. So we'll move on to Rutgers now. And, as you mentioned, a game that IU, you know, by the time it kicks off, who knows where the line will be. But it's going to be somewhere around 17, which really is unheard of for a Indiana being on the road in the Big Ten. Rutgers is bottoming out as we speak. And if you're Indiana, the last thing you want to do is give them reason for optimism. You've got to set the tone early, be focused, and go in and take care of business. Get them down, and they have given no indication that they're willing to fight back. They beat Texas State in the opener 35-7. Since then, you know, 52-3 to Ohio State. Well, that's expected. No surprise there. But then they go on the road to Kansas and lose by 39 points. I'm sorry, what was it? 41. Make good math there. 41 points. Then they lose at home to Buffalo, who is a, I think, pretty solid MAC team. I think if they played Ball State, perhaps, you'd see, I think Buffalo is probably slightly better than Ball State right now. But, you know, fairly comparable. And they lost to Buffalo 13-42 at home. So it's really bottoming out, and there's nothing that they do looking at their statistical profile or watching any of their games, nothing they do that particularly worries you as an opponent. They've got some solid players. Raheem Blackshear is a running back averaging 4.8 yards a carry. Their top receiving target right now is their senior tight end, Jerome Washington. He's a capable player, but none of their receivers are standing out as kind of scary. I mean, Bo Melton is probably the best of the bunch, but I personally don't see any of their receivers as kind of being in the top three or four of Indiana's group. Now, that's hard to judge because the quarterback play has been bad. I mean, look, we can complain about Peyton Ramsey as IU fans and his lack of arm strength to get the ball down the field or on some of those out routes. But, I mean, Peyton Ramsey is, so far this season, is light years ahead of what Rutgers has put on the field. Art Sitkowski is a freshman that, you know, he's being forced into action, and they hope that it benefits him down the road, but he's not ready for it. He's just not. 7 picks to 1 touchdown. He's hovering around 50% completion rate. Giovanni Rossigno is a senior that, you know, we know what he is. He's, again, just about a 50% passer. Fewer turnovers, but, I mean, nothing positive.
Puts the fear of God into you.
No. I just, offensively, there's not a lot that they bring to the table that should worry Indiana. This should be a very good performance for this defense. The biggest concern would be that Marcelino Ball is, you know, suspended for the first half of the game. Jacob Robinson, again, week to week, he got hurt before the Michigan State game and was unable to go. It doesn't sound like he'll go this week either. When you say week to week, I would guess he won't go. And you probably hope to have him back for Iowa at 100%.
Yeah.
So, and then Cam Jones questionable after the getting injured on his interception. You know, you got some concerns at Husky, but you know, Rutgers is averaging just shy of 17 points a game. They played Kansas, Texas State, and Buffalo included in their game against Ohio State. So coming out of that four with just under 17 a game, that's pretty inept, and it continues a trend of Chris Ash's entire tenure. They have not been good on offense under him at all. Now, what's surprising is how bad their defense has been the past couple weeks. You know, giving up plus 50 to Kansas and plus 40 to Buffalo, I mean, I didn't see that coming. I thought their defense would be better than what it has been.
Their strength of their defense is in the secondary with Isaiah Wharton, Saquon Hampton, Damon Hayes, and Avery Young. But if you're not getting pressure on the quarterback, not getting tackles for loss, you could have the best secondary in the country out there, and it's not going to help anyway. So they don't really get pressure on the quarterback. They're starting a guy at defensive end who's 246 pounds as a sophomore. This is just a, it's a game that I think this is a more important game for IU than Michigan State game was. Whether you won or lost against Michigan State, this is how you judge where IU is. Is this the IU team that goes in there, didn't know how to handle success and lays an egg? Or is this the IU team who now lost a disheartening game against Michigan State? Did they take a hat to get back going and let Rutgers hang around? And you know, Rutgers jumped up and got – they got Purdue last year. They had two Big Ten wins. Yep. And things like that there. So, or do you shake off that loss, go in there, take care of business, blow this team out, head to Ohio State on a high note, and end your September with four wins, which if you could get out of September, four wins, you're in business. And, you know, if you go in, lose to the Rutgers team, you're back to being, you know, everybody says it's same old Indiana this week. If you lose to Rutgers on the road with the bad showing this week, yeah, you could start saying it's same old Indiana again. Heading 3-2 to Ohio State, which means you're 3-3 going into homecoming, and it really takes all the air out of that balloon for this season. And you're looking at, you know, this program might be dead in the water after that. If they don't get six wins, this program's dead in the water momentum-wise. On the field, but Rutgers is, they're bad. There's no two ways around it. And Indiana's got to, you know, you got to come in with chest puffed and ready to go and show that you're the better team. Rutgers is, I think they're 123rd or 126th in scoring offense. As you said, did put up their first points against Ohio State in over two seasons. That was a fun little prop bet that I had with a friend who is an OSU alum, was whether or not Rutgers would score this year against Ohio State. And then you know, you see the scores against Kansas and Buffalo. Now, Buffalo, they're a good team. It's not shocking that they won. It's shocking that they won 42-13. So this offense, this is a game where it put them out of their misery early. I would like to see them use Michael Penix. I think this whole notion that you have to redshirt him, he's a freshman, is an arcane notion. If he's good enough to play against FIU and Ball State, heck, he's good enough to play against Rutgers, and get him these Big Ten road snaps, and you know, hopefully he could put up enough points in the first half to where you could play him the entire second half. You know, keep the offense rolling and get him ready, because I really do think if you make this a two quarterback system, that these two guys complement each other well. You could stretch the field vertically with Knicks, you could stretch the field horizontally with Peyton Ramsey, and get different weapons in different places. So I don't know. I'm very, very concerned about what they're going to do with Michael Penix. I think it's a big, big time mistake. If they're going to redshirt him, I think that boat sailed with how he's played in the first two games. He has two games to finagle with, but you need to get this game. Now, can Peyton Ramsey win this game on his own? Probably. He could get the ball to his receivers. They should be able to stretch the field a little bit. I haven't looked at the weather report, but, you know, this is a game that IU should have both facets of their offense running, which makes it easier for Ramsey to throw the ball. But man, if they just sit picks on the bench, you're asking for trouble, and your ceiling lowers a little bit in terms of how many wins you get, and you really push to get six. Whereas, you know, if you have a quarterback who could throw up the middle and throw it deep up the middle, you saw it against Michigan State when Watt Filliard took that touchdown, that defense backed off a little bit, and then he could start dinking and dunking with Ramsey. So, you know, those big plays are important. You saw it as soon as you hit a big one, it loosens up that defense, and, you know, your mind wanders to where where that game might have gone had they been able to hit Reese Taylor on that wheel route, which is probably a walk-in touchdown unless he trips over somebody's hand or the turf monster gets him, gives them a 7-0 lead, and really makes that defense respect that throw, because that's the throw that Peyton Ramsey couldn't complete last year twice late in the season against Michigan State and Maryland, and then it bit them again last week against Michigan State. So defensively, it's a real shame that Marcelino Ball can't play in the first half because he had a monster. He played for like a minute or two in the second half against Michigan State, but he had like 8 tackles, a couple tackles for loss, a sack, a forced fumble. He had a monster game against Michigan State. He's back in rounding into form of where he was 2 years ago as a freshman. And now he has to sit out because of a judgment call of an official who probably doesn't know, you know, probably misinterpreted the rules or threw it, but didn't throw it against Michigan State. And I'll go one step shy of saying that somebody was in his ear yelling at him to throw the flag because that might have been targeting. And, you know, it's just such a shame that now IU's a little banged up husky, and that might be an issue. They should be okay talent-wise. The secondary's good. The defensive line should be okay. And the linebackers, you should be able to get pressure on these guys. So hopefully it doesn't impact the game that much. But if this was a game that was a little bit more evenly matched, that's a big-time loss for Indiana based on some crummy officiating that impacts the game, maybe some guys' futures and things like that. So tough loss for Marcelino Ball, but otherwise Indiana's defense should be okay. And they put up 14 points against Kansas, 30 points against Buffalo. And this wasn't even like a Khalil Mack Buffalo team. So, you know, Indiana should be okay this week. What is your matchup watch, TJ?
I'm interested in seeing Indiana's wide receivers and passing game because I think the play calling and the scheme and the arm limitations of whoever's back there, quarterback, plays just as big a role as the actual receiving core. But in terms of matchup, the receivers of Indiana against the Rutgers secondary, Rutgers secondary is pretty talented in terms of their frontline guys, but, you know, they are giving up right now through 4 games a passer rating of 148.74, which is just ridiculously bad, for you to give up. Now, a lot of that is probably due to the fact that, Rutgers is unable to stop the run, so they've got to help out some on the run there. They can't rely on their front 7 to do it, and then they're not getting any pressure on the passer either. So it's kind of creating some low-stress situations for the quarterback. I'm interested in how Indiana is able to get other players besides Wapfillier involved. I hope Luke Timian's able to go, but if he's not 100%, you don't put him out there. You need him for games down the line. You can't afford to lose him long-term if he comes back too early. So I'm interested to see, does Jayshon Harris continue to get more involved? That he certainly looked good on Saturday night when they got him the ball. Wapfillier, of course, and then Nick Westbrook, Donovan Hale, Ty Freifogel. I want to see those guys get more involved in the attack because they're big targets. Hendershot, Doris, Matt Bjorson, barely were able to look at the tight end. They had to help stay in the block on Saturday night. So, I want to see a more integrated passing attack, a more varied passing attack. And hopefully we are able to see that because if IU's not going to be able to use the receiver core to the full potential that they have, I think you're leaving points on the board long-term. Over the course of the season, not necessarily against Rutgers because, honestly, Stevie Scott should be able to run the ball for 100, 150 yards. Ronnie Walker gets some more carries. those guys should be able to have a nice game. I'm not worried about that. But what you're looking for is for Indiana to establish themselves, take control of this game, and then you're looking to build for the rest of the season. That's what you're looking at. That's not to say IU can, you know, worry about that right off the start. You got to make sure you win this game first and foremost. But if IU takes care of business, those are the things we're going to be looking for. You know, what other receivers can step up and be a big part of this attack as they head into more, you know, more games that are much more like Michigan State as opposed to, you know, a game against a Ball State.
Yeah, and they have to start using Nick Westbrook and Donovan Hale. They're two of the better receivers in the conference. They have not been used recently to their full potential. And, you know, it's got to be frustrating for them. Two guys who have had big games in the past, Donovan Hale's looked good early in the season, just not getting the ball-catching opportunities or targets that they need to get stuff done. So, you know, that's a good matchup to watch. I'll try and go something different. I'm going to go a little off the beaten path. Indiana against themselves. This is a game where you got to get things right. This is a you can't make mental mistakes on defense. You can't let jet sweeps go for 70 yards. You can't throw pick sixes. You can't give up, you know, fake field goals for touchdowns and things like that. So, you know, with all due respect to Rutgers, the more important thing, if Indiana plays their A game, they should have no problem. And that's what they need to focus on, their A game, get guys in the right positions. No stupid penalties, no silly, you know, calls on special teams, things like that, shank kicks, block errors in field goal protection, things like that. Play a clean game. So it's Indiana versus themselves. It's my matchup to watch heading into Rutgers. Prediction time, TJ. What is your prediction for Saturday?
I think IU wins this comfortably. I don't think it will be a complete laugher. I'm going to go with Indiana, what I read down here, 41, so two field goals, which, you know, kudos to Logan Justice as well. He hit two 35-yard field goals Saturday night and had no problems with them at all. They look good. So, you know, props to him, and hopefully that continues. And then Indiana can get some confidence in that kicking game. I think he hits two more field goals. IU gets on the board for five touchdowns, gets 41. Rutgers gets 17. So 41-17, the Hoosiers win and cover, but I don't think it will be a complete blowout.
I said 210. Tom Allen's not the kind of guy who's going to run up the score teams. That's just his nature, and take it for what it is. I just hope that they play well and don't take their foot off the gas. I'm not saying you're going to throw 70-yard bombs if you're up by 30 points, but get out of your game plan until the final gun. Show that you can put, you know, you want to finish games, put four quarters together against Rutgers. I think Rutgers does get on the board at some point. 42-10 is mine. A comfortable win for IU. Wash out that sour taste from Michigan State a little bit. End September on a high note with four wins. You head into a brutal October where you're playing Ohio State, Iowa, Penn State, and then have to go on a short week to Minnesota, where you hope maybe you could squeeze out two wins, you know, in that group, where you could also be looking at one win or no wins. If things break the wrong way. But getting this fourth win, heading into homecoming with a guaranteed winning record against an Iowa team who I think is pretty beatable, and you're in good shape. So take care of business. Don't take your foot off the gas. 42-10, Indiana. All right, TJ, thanks for joining us for the podcast. Enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll talk to people on next Monday. All right, that does it for the Hoosier Huddle podcast. This week, keep coming back to HoosierHuddle.com for all your Indiana football news. Follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle. Don't forget, bingo cards are available every Friday on Twitter. Don't forget to send your winning bingo cards in. Send your information, DM them to at Hoosier_Huddle on Twitter. Email them to thehoosierhuddle@gmail.com so we could get your name entered in for a raffle for the Vintage Brands canvas at the end of the season. Thank you guys for joining us. Indiana and Rutgers kicks off at noon on Big Ten Network. Check your local listings. Make sure to check the overflow channels as well. And we'll be back next week to preview, wrap up Indiana Rutgers and preview Indiana at Ohio State.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
Yeah, I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Welcome to Fail Better, David Duchovny's new podcast with Lemonada Media. On Fail Better, David, who has experienced both low and high-profile failures throughout his life, explores the vast world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives. Each week, he'll chat with guests like Ben Stiller, Bette Midler, and more about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, he hopes listeners can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out now wherever you get your podcasts. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.